This concept has been very real to me for probably close to 20 years. But I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface, and I ache for what Jesus taught. The ascended lifestyle, the living in that place of fellowship with Him. He actually designed it to where I could live in the felt realization of His presence. I could host His word in my soul as the greatest of treasures. And the end result would be I could speak and things would happen. Verse 13 is the mysterious verse. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. My translation adds this phrase, who is in heaven. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. All right, we'll look at it more in a moment. We know that Jesus, after his crucifixion, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and was glorified. So resurrection, ascension, glorification. This is before all of that. This is early in the game. This is early in the 3.5 years of his ministry time. So this is towards the beginning. And here he's talking to his disciples. Can I say he's revealing one of the absolute keys to his life of answers to prayer, of 100% success in ministry to people, in bringing deliverance and healing. Everyone he ministered to was healed, even those who weren't thankful. Remember the 10 lepers? Only one returned to give thanks. The failure of 9 to display character and to give him honor was not an indictment on Jesus' ministry. People oftentimes will look at the fruit of a ministry and look at somebody who's not walking right and blame the person who ministered to him. If you didn't do it to Jesus, don't do it to your friend. So here Jesus says, early in the game now, no one has ascended to heaven. So he's talking to everybody. He says, nobody's ascended, with one exception. The one who descended. Who is he talking about? Himself. All right, so he's got this thing going. He says, all right, nobody's ascended to heaven, one exception. The one who descended from heaven. Remember, Jesus came from heaven, took on flesh, became a man. So he descended. No one has ascended except he who descended. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. No one has ascended to heaven except Jesus, who lived an ascended lifestyle. Now, this is very awkward and strange. Paul would later find language for it, and he would call it being seated in heavenly places in Christ. Tragically, it becomes a doctrine, not an experience. It was never meant to be a point of theology. It was supposed to be an invitation to help the journey. The ascended lifestyle, this place of living aware of Him, living aware of eternity, living aware of heaven itself. This place of abiding is the place of absolute triumph and victory. Yes. It's the place where the little foxes don't have access. Yes. It's living above the snake line. So Jesus here says to Nicodemus, who's already confused, he which makes it so funny. Jesus emphasized it. You know, one of the gifted teachers of Israel is there, bewildered at the slightest revelation of truth. Jesus says, nobody's ascended to heaven except me. What is he saying? I've been ascending to heaven. That's what he's saying. I descended, but I've also been ascending. Or brother, you're just creating an opportunity for deception. Maybe we're already deceived. Already deceived into thinking this is all there is. No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended, that is the Son of Man, and in his translation adds this phrase, who is in heaven. Jesus is standing on planet Earth talking to a group of guys. And he's saying, I'm there now. I'm there now. Why do you think he taught them about abiding in him and his words abiding in them? Why do you think he emphasized these seemingly abstract approaches to a relationship with God when in fact they aren't abstract at all? They're the most practical expression there is. It's the illustration. It's basic. It's not like I have to work myself into some kind of frantic place where I imagine heaven. It's not that. It's a relationship with the person where I live conscious of the felt presence of God. And in that journey, I start seeing things from his eyes. My wife was so good at this way of praying. She was so good when we would face a crisis. I remember when Haley, Brian and Jen's oldest daughter, was first born. In fact, it was kind of interesting. I was back at a Sunday morning, back at the back door, and she came. She was very great with child, and just wanting to give birth to their first child. And so I laid hands on her, and honestly, this only happened once, so don't, if you're pregnant, don't come up to me. But she immediately started into labor. Just when I touched her, she started into labor. And come to find out, it was a very urgent situation. She went and gave birth. Haley was in very, very serious condition. And a whole bunch of us were up at the hospital. Our family does things. We're kind of like a cult, really. That was a joke, but I know. So we have a bunch of us, not a cult, up there praying. A bunch of us together praying. And Benny's there. And she just separates herself, goes off to the side. Which sometimes that's what you need to do to get breakthrough. I'll do it sometimes when a family will bring a family member. You've got to be really careful because you're dealing with people who really love and really care well. But there are times I can feel the weightiness of family concern is inhibiting the miracle. And so what I've done before, in fact, I did it right here, a group of families right here, and I said, well, I want you guys to stay right here and pray with your permission. I would like to take your son, 12 years old, if I recall, right over here and minister to him separately. Because there's so much pull. I can't explain it tonight. I just opened a can of worms, just leave it there. So Benny separated herself and she just prayed this. She said, Father, what are we doing? And he gave her a very clear word. She did that within a very short period of time. Haley had completely turned around. Because prayer is not supposed to be us begging God to invade a situation. It's supposed to be us joining with the Father, seeing his heart, and making the decrees necessary to bring about his will on earth. Why don't you stand with me? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray. I don't know how to pray this. You know what? I'll be really honest with you. In my pondering this tonight during worship, is my heart, I'm exploring these verses. This concept has been very real to me for probably close to 20 years. But I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface, and I ache for what Jesus taught. I ache for what he was talking about. The ascended lifestyle, the living in that place of fellowship with him. Again, it's not some ecstatic emotional place. It's literally a part of the journey where he lets you see through his eyes. He lets you feel what he feels in his heart. And we become so one with him that he can trust us to ask anything. I don't have an ambition to have my way with God where he does whatever I want him to do. That's terrifying. I'm not interested in that. But I am interested in being the fulfillment of his dream. He actually designed it to where I could live in the felt realization of his presence. I could host his word in my soul as the greatest of treasures. And the end result would be I could speak and things would happen. I'm not looking for some self-gratification. My gratification is his delight over me. His pleasure, his delight. Everything else pales by comparison. Everything. And you're here on a Sunday night because in some measure you ache for this as much as I do. Yeah. We're not here just trying to spend time. We don't need any more meetings. But we're looking for the reality of Christ, that which he has destined us for, to become a felt reality, an actual realized part of our life. And so I want to pray. I want to pray for you, maybe as important or more importantly as your own prayer for you. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to pray over you, but I'm going to ask you to do this. I want to ask everybody in the room to begin to pray over your own heart, but I'm going to ask you to do it out loud, but I want you to be able to hear your own voice. Timid prayers get timid answers. Courageous prayers get courageous answers. And I'm going to ask you to pray with some measure of courage as you ask the Lord, let me see what you see. I want to live with the felt realization and presence. Somehow take whatever stood out to you tonight, put it in your own words and pray it out loud. And then I'm going to pray over you. All right, so go ahead and do that right now. Just begin to pray. Thank you, God. Thank you. Yeah, keep going. You're doing so good. There's really an anointing on your prayers right now. Very powerful. Keep praying. Let me pray over you. Father, we are hungry. We're hungry. We're hungry to discover this thing of eternity in our hearts, this DNA that you've given us, that we have written into our code the fact that we are alive forever and we get to spend eternity with you. So I'm asking that you would heighten our awareness of the presence of the Spirit of God. Number one, make us more and more and more aware of the God who is with us. Emmanuel, the God who is with us. The abiding presence of the Spirit of God. The resting presence of the Spirit of God. Heighten that in us. Make everything about us, our physical senses, our intellectual capacity, our emotional perception, everything about us, heightened to your presence. I ask that you would make us more aware now of heaven and the way heaven functions and eternity, that we would live conscious of that. And then I ask this ascended lifestyle, you who ascended, and you taught us from this place of perfect fellowship with the Father. Let us know in the days, the weeks, the months, even the years ahead, what it is to live an ascended lifestyle, ascended to the right hand of the Father, all because of Jesus, all because of the blood of Jesus. Let us live conscious and aware of eternity, of your presence, your heart, your mind. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.